going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. It is Friday. It is April 25th, and it is now an 0-3 hole that the Memphis Grizzlies are staring at after last night. Lordy, lordy, lord. Grizzlies up. Everything's feeling good. Yeah. I mean, all the feels were there. Scottie Pippen Jr. was hitting everything. Everything almost to a point where you're saying, how many are we going to beat them by? 51? Ha-ha. It all came unraveled after Ja Morant went down in that second quarter. And with the Grizzlies up 27, I think they got to 29. And from there, it was all OKC, 114-108. We had said if the Grizzlies were going to win one, it's going to be last night. It looked for a while. And we said if they're going to win or cover. Certainly looked for a while, a good while. They're going to cover and then didn't look for a while like they were going to win. But without Ja, score 31 points in the second half. And the Grizzlies, as we said, down 0-3 now. Game 4 is Saturday at FedEx Forum. You know, how much you'll have left, whether or not Ja Morant can even play. He took the jersey off. Yeah, you know, I don't know what that meant. Yeah, we've seen it before when that meant something different, but certainly seemed to be in a great deal of pain and was on crutches afterwards. We'll talk about that, what's left for the Memphis Grizzlies. Again, an historic comeback by OKC. It's felt like this whole series has been historic in the sense of historically one-sided in that way. Remember that Game 1 loss, the worst Game 1 playoff loss in history. So we will talk Grizz, talk what's next, and what's next for the future. You know, what you got to do. That'll be plenty of that. And then, you know, the rest of the NBA playoffs go on. We got 3 more games tonight. Faye Bragg goes on. We may have to change to tail Brad Carson.
Is it 11-4 now? 11-5, I think. 11-5.
I mean, is this guy good now or what?
I don't know. Yeah. Unfortunately, it seems like he's found a formula that's working over there.
It sure does. And then and Pete Penny gonna teach us how to dug it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's gonna do that for you.
Really? See, that's the one that gets John.
Come on, pork chop.
He goes into his breakdancing. If y'all could see him, he's breakdancing. This is what gets John going. It changes his entire mood. It's amazing.
Because it takes me back to being a kid. You
it's
know?
Almost like the Grizzlies won last night.
You know, like when you hear like,
okay. You know now, what? Do you have capability over there just to give me mine real quick? A little teach me how to Dougie, a little. And I just want to say, oh, no, we can't do that.
You know, like.
John's is programmed in.
That's right. Brad's got it down.
He's this is the one we're going to use for Doug. Let's focus on the positive, and this is certainly uplifting.
Do you remember?
The kiddie music.
Like when you were, you know, growing up, right? Thundercats.
Yeah, right? I remember Thundercats.
You remember, like, so when you hear the song, you know, it makes you happy. It takes you back to a nice place, does it not?
Yes.
So
kind of.
That's kind of how I feel when I hear like the old Nick.
Understood. Tune, I don't think know. Anybody's faulting you for that, bro.
Yeah. So
we're all looking for pick me ups today in our own ways, quirky ways. And this is something that lifts you. So we're fine with that.
Yeah.
Whatever
it
takes.
Yeah, exactly right. So a lot to get to on the show today. Anthony Sands is going to join us at 11:25. Part of the podcast is going to join us at 1:25. We'll get into Grizzlies. We'll talk Tigers, all that and more on the show today. That was an all-timer.
Real quick, can I say one thing before you start into this?
Because I know. Oh, we didn't even mention the draft. My goodness.
Right. Jason Fitz is a GOAT.
G-O-A-T?
Yeah. Because I said I would say it if Jaxson Dart went before Shedeur Sanders, because Jason Fitz told us that, who we have on every Tuesday, and this is why we've had him on for years. He isn't just coming on throwing opinions at you. He's talking to people and comes on and tells us that Jaxson Dart's going to go before Shedeur. Well, here's the thing. He was telling us that 2 weeks ago. He was the first. And then, like we said yesterday, all of a sudden everybody jumped on yesterday, and it goes down. I told him when he said it, because, again, he was the first I'd seen, you are the GOAT. If you're right about this, Fitz was right. So I just want to make sure we give Fitz his draft credit.
Yeah.
Or now, I mean, he is an NFL expert. Because at that time, no one had said that.
That's fair.
That Shedeur was going to
draw. That was what, 2 weeks ago?
It was 2 weeks ago before it was this 2 hits ago, yes.
Yeah.
Not this week, but last week. And so when it, just all credit to him, this guy knows his stuff. He's talking to folks, and he was way out ahead on this.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. That's a good call because the betting market didn't flip until yesterday on that. So he was a full 14 days ahead
way
of
that. Way ahead.
Yeah.
And if you've been listening closely, and he's hit before, so there was good reason to believe him.
Obviously, I came away with the guy that I wanted.
Congrats. Yeah, can we give John a round of applause?
That was the first time.
I mean, I'm glad. That's why I told Chris, I'm glad you got him.
In my adult life, that I can genuinely say that I came away with the player that I wanted. You can say Brock. I didn't want Brock because he's a tight end. And you're going to learn this. You're going to learn this because you got a good one, but it ain't going to matter. It ain't going to be the difference for you, all right? That's going to be the problem. You're going to need a defensive lineman. You're
going to
need an offensive lineman.
We continue to ignore it for some reason.
You know, we drafted Brock Bowers. He set every record in the world, and we still sucked. You know,
yeah, but that's on a team where he's the main weapon, basically.
Well, he's still going to be the main weapon.
This guy's going to be one of four. It's completely different.
We're starting to cook. We're starting to cook a little
bit. You got Genty. We gave you the round of applause. I literally said we're happy for you.
Thank you so much.
Tell us how good the Raiders going to be in the AFC West next year.
Wild card, bro.
We'll talk about it in the rundown.
Hit that duck bunny.
Yeah, he's feeling good. He's feeling good about Ashton Genty. He's a little shorty.
He is, but you can't tackle him, though.
No, that's what I was telling Chris. It looks like it makes him harder to tackle.
There's like a magnetic field.
A little Barry Sanders in him. You got to get low.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's juking you.
Exactly right. So, anyway, a lot to get to on the show today. But there wasn't nothing funny about what happened inside FedEx Forum last night. You mentioned it. It was a glorious first half. Grizzlies jumped on him. Of course, they started this game on NBA TV because that Knicks-Pistons game would not end. My God. I mean, they just – the score, the timekeeper started – I mean, it was just a disaster.
Yeah.
The Knicks do hold on, however. But finally, by the time we got over to TNT, the Grizzlies had built a double-digit lead, and Scottie Pippen Jr. had hit, what, his first four threes?
It was on fire.
And you're like, all right.
Looked like Ray Allen out there.
Nice little start here at home. But they're going to make a run. That's what you're thinking, right? And then it never came. They were turning the ball over. The Grizzlies were not turning the ball over. The Grizzlies were making every three they put up. You know, it didn't matter who it was, whether it was Scottie Pippen, whether it was Ja, whether it was Santi.
77 first half points.
And so you're like, man, at least they're showing some fight. And then came the play. We don't happen to have this from Hasseltine, do we? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot here. If we don't have it, it's fine. But I would have just liked to have heard, you know, how he kind of described it in real time. But John Morant's trailing on a transition play. Scottie Pippen dumps it off to him on the trail. He tries to leave his feet. And as he leaves his feet, Lou Dort slips, falls, rakes across Ja as he's in midair. Ja comes down with no really chance to brace himself and lands right on the hip. And immediately you know that it's bad. You mentioned he took off the jersey, did not return.
He shot his free throw.
Shot his free throw because just in case.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when he took off his jersey, you just know he's not coming back.
Right, right. And he ended up missing both, unfortunately. But it was like the air got sucked out of the building.
Kennard, I think, hit a three before half.
He did.
I'm telling myself, no, they can. They're gonna hold on,
right?
Because they've got enough cushion,
right?
I don't know about you, John, but I know we'll get to the collapse, but and or the walk down, but at halftime, and now I feel so silly for even having the conversation or the thought, but I started thinking about 2-2.
I can't blame
you. Because they were playing so well.
I can't blame
you. And that was even with Ja down and, you know, even with concerns there. But at the half, you know, and certainly with Ja still in the game, what was that, 3 minutes left? Right before, you know, when you're rolling right there, I started thinking about 2-2. Like, why can't they now, if they're going to blow them out like this? We've seen the other side of OKC that lets off. Well, that certainly didn't happen. But that's you were starting to think, man, maybe they can sort of really reframe this thing,
right?
In terms of you know, what could be left, make it a 3-game series.
I totally agree.
But that's how good things felt.
No,
before this thing.
I'm not going to fault you for that.
And I still thought they would win at halftime with Ja down. That's what I should say.
And so we'll get to that.
Yeah,
we'll get to that obviously because there's that sends a message, doesn't it? I mean, what happened in that second half? It sends a message. I want to talk about the play really quickly.
Yes, please.
I don't think Lou Dort did something. I don't think he made a dirty play, but he did make a reckless play. And the fact that wasn't even assessed, like, I thought that play was worse than the play that Jason Tatum got hurt on. Jason Tatum in game one of the Magic series went up and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope made a play on the ball in the air and kind of bumped him with the body.
Yeah.
And that got caught as a flagrant. That got caught as a flagrant one. The fact that this wasn't even deemed a flagrant one, I thought, was ridiculous because, you know, there really was not an attempt on the ball. It was just a hack, a rake across Ja in midair. I don't understand why the league doesn't do a better job of trying to protect guys that are airborne. You know, I heard, you know, everybody except Lou Dort got blamed last night. That was the crazy part. Like, people blamed Ja for going up in the air. Charles Barkley blamed Scottie Pippen for not taking the layup. Nobody blamed Lou Dort for just not getting out of the way.
I mean, you I'm looking at him. I mean, he's slipping. I know he flails out after that, and that's what catches Ja.
Right.
But to me, you would say it's not on purpose.
I would not say it was on purpose.
You said it's reckless.
I would say it's reckless because, you know, you don't really need to make a play on the ball, bro. Like, it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous because that guy's in midair, you know, and you're down 27 at that point, by the way. Like, it's the second quarter of an NBA game. You're down 27.
Yeah.
You know that dude's about to go into the air.
I don't really have any pushback on whether or not. Yeah, I'm fine with you if it should have been. Yeah, I mean, he flails out there enough. He's like, I'm not going to let it. It feels
right.
Like I'm not going to let a guy just completely jump over me.
Exactly.
With the, you know, it may be in that split second you're thinking, I can fall widely, whatever.
But, yeah.
I don't think it was dirty.
No, I don't think it was dirty.
Let me ask you something, and it's just a question. Is it reckless of Ja up 20-something with the injury history, knowing that availability is the key to you and really the key to this team, right? Is it reckless of him? Now, I realize, and I know some blame Scotty. Should have just taken the layup. Like, I heard that, too.
Yeah.
Listen, Scotty's trying to give it to the show.
Exactly.
And that's what you do. And the show went up.
Yeah.
Bro, we were just shooting up the ankle. You know? I mean, there's a part of me that gets it. You got butts in seats down at FedEx Forum, and you're feeling good. But there is also a part of me, I'm sorry, I'm just asking you if this is a fair question, that says, you know what, I got to be here.
Yeah.
You know, I can't jump off of try to jump over a 4-story building every time.
Yeah.
And I know Scotty was expecting that. I know the crowd was expecting it. But we've asked Ja on some of these, and he's even said at one point, I'm going to stop dunking to that point. Now,
right.
Ja, again, I'm not going to ask Ja to pull back. That's, you want, but at some point, doesn't there have to be a cerebral approach, particularly when you're down 2-1, you got a chance to be back in at 2-1, and you being on the floor is key to the comeback. And so especially with, my gosh, the injury history this year. So I would just say, is there any part of it, because of who it is, that was reckless on his part? Do we need the dunk?
Well, you know,
do we need him falling out of the sky all the time? You know, and the only reason I say that, because literally Dort undercut him, is because you set yourself up for that when you try to get the ham. Do we?
That's true. You can't get undercut if you don't leave your feet.
You're down 0-2. He has to be on the floor. We literally saw them score 31 in the second half without them. And there's the team and sort of its part in that. And there's also us understanding, man, that Ja's got to be on the floor. And these are things we've talked about. So I've just asked you, is it fair to say, you know, you not set yourself up for it, but that you didn't necessarily need it right there, particularly, John, with what the score was.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I wish he would have gone up for a layup, you know. We've
been saying that, for him this season.
But I still think, for me, the fault lies with Lou Dort.
Again, I'm cool with, like, okay, give it a flagrant, but I'm fine with, we're not going to give, you know, OKC this huge bunch of credit after Ja goes out and walks you down and it's whatever biggest – playoff rundown, second biggest that we've seen, but because you take Ja off the floor and the way it happened, I agree with you. I'd have been fine with it being a flagrant. You don't give OKC a Superman effort here, but still they did make, Chet Holmgren.
Yeah.
He scored 23 of 24 in the second half.
Yep.
He turned on. You didn't defend him. Air comes out of the building, but so did the effort, I thought. You know, Jaren's taking on triple teams, dropping the ball down low like it's the first time he's had, NBA bigs on him. And frankly, it's not even the NBA bigs. It's Caruso. It's knocking the ball away from you.
Caruso, dog.
Like, come on, man. And again, I feel like part of it's unfair. They don't know Isolo. In terms of leading them, being that lead voice.
Yeah.
He doesn't know them. But Jaren, again, year seven, three guys on you, two guys are open. That's basketball 101.
Yep.
And he's bringing it down. Caruso's taking it. It was child's play once Ja was gone.
Caruso been giving him the business, bro.
They are guarding him with Caruso.
Yeah,
he backs him down. God bless him now, because the game one he just stood out there at the 3-point line. He's backing him down now, and that's when they send the double team, and they send a triple team. He still can't pass out. He'd rather bring the ball down, thinking he's gonna power through a triple team. Now he hit one of them, which was crazy.
Yeah.
But frankly, it was just encouragement that he could get this done.
Yeah.
And it was frustrating to watch him. Sorry.
It was.
For Bacon, a two-time All-Star in his seventh year.
I expect Ja's season to be over. I don't see any reason why you'd bring him back for game four. You know, you don't even get a day. You got the ankle. You got the hip. I mean, I don't really see a world where he's playing on Saturday. I thought, okay, so we talk about this series. We talk about how it's kind of medicine, right? And so we need this, and we need to see some things. The front office needs to see some things.
They were sitting right there behind them.
There's a very real chance that tomorrow's game is the last time we see guys in a Grizzlies uniform, guys that we have come to know, right, and appreciate over the years. I'll say this. I mean, I have been extremely, extremely disappointed in Desmond Bane in these moments. In these moments where Ja has not been in the game, in these moments where Ja has been hurt, it's up to him, as the highest paid guard on this team, to do something, to produce. And Jaren had 22 last night. I mean, we're being critical, and he had the turnover and things like that. But
I get it. No, we definitely should, if we're going to give it to Jaren.
But Jaren, Jaren actually tried. He showed up. Bane had 10 points last night. Bane had 10 points in the second half where they scored, what, 31, 32? That man had 10 points.
Yeah, like, he's shooting 21% from three in this series.
Desmond Bane is a max player. He's a $200 million player.
I just wonder if they're, because their length and bodies.
I mean, that's true.
I just think that's why I haven't looked at all of his OKC performances this season, but the ones in this series.
Yeah.
Now, he's missed some open ones, too, but he's also taken some that are freaking half court.
No, he's taking bad shots. He took one last night at the beginning of the fourth quarter that was just a terrible shot. I mean, Scottie Pippen had 28, and he's smaller than Desmond Bane. So the reality is that when you play 37 minutes and you're a max player and you finish with 10 with Ja Morant out, that falls on Desmond Bane.
He's 5 of 24 from 3 for the series.
I mean, you got
averaging 12.7. He's 13 points.
Ja Morant outscored him in 16 minutes.
No, you're right. I mean, if there's been more let off from him, if If you're going to be critical of a series performance, his is certainly should be up there in front of more so than Jaren's, I suppose. It's just the picture of Jaren versus Caruso. Both of those two have been underwhelming.
You don't have a big three.
Jaren's given you two decent games, I suppose.
The Grizzlies have a big 1.5. It ain't a big three. It's a big 1.5. And so I think it's over. I think the all precincts are basically reporting now. There was a time 2-3 years ago where we believed that this core could be good enough. You cannot possibly believe that anymore. That second half, to me, should be the end of it. You can't even hold a 29-point lead in 24 minutes. You can't even do enough with a combined, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be a $300 million player. Desmond Bane's a $200 million player. Basically $500 million in payroll. You can't hold a 29-point second-half lead 24 minutes. And then you lose by 6. It ain't even like it was a buzzer beater, bro. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. So, yeah, you got outscored by 32 in the second half. You scored 31. So, I think, honestly, it is over. You know, I don't think that's an overreaction because, you know, how can you bring this back? How can you say, all right, you know, it was just a bad series? How do you sell season tickets that way? How do you get people excited? How do you say to Ja Morant, who is showing up for you, how do you say to him, yeah, we're committed to winning, but we're going to just keep everything the same and we're going to bring back the same three guys?
And many of us have moved to a point where the conversation should be broadened to breaking up the big three, the flawed three, whatever you'd call them. But do you want Zach Kleiman leading that?
I mean, that's a hell of a question too, man. You're right. Because that has not been a strength of his at all. I mean, there are strengths that this front office has. I mean, they draft and they evaluate, right? They do a really, really good job with that for the most part. They don't hit everyone, but they hit a lot.
But Jaren was before.
Jaren was before.
Ja was a no-brainer.
Yep.
Then you start with...
Wells was good. Bane was good. Again, where they were picked.
GG,
we think was pretty good. Yeah. Santi.
Right.
Good at 30.
We thought at one point value in Vince.
Yeah, right.
But that's it.
That is it.
And then what you also have that Zach's good at, right, are contracts.
Right.
Great contracts for the other guys. You know,
right.
he's a Duke-educated attorney, right? And an analytics guy.
Yeah.
So it would make sense. His strengths, finding value in second round, guys who could be starters.
Totally right.
And contracts.
Yeah.
Okay. Not getting trades done, though. Trades that can potentially get you over the top. We see you blew the Marcus Smart deal, you know, and what you spent to get him and then get him out of here.
Yeah.
And then I keep going back to DFS, what he's done, Dorian Finney-Smith, what he's done for the Lakers. You were in that. Thought it was done. Whether you wouldn't give up the first round or whatever it was, you didn't get the deal done. Lakers get him. But that's the kind of guy. And those are the kind of deals it felt like could have possibly – you know, certainly shifted the way things look now. Maybe you're not in this 1-8.
Right.
You know, if you haven't collapsed the way you had, if you've gotten that deal done, we know you can't get the Jimmy Butlers and the Kevin Durants, but you got to get those kinds of deals when you're that close done. He didn't get that done.
Didn't get it done.
And so if you're talking about someone who's got a certain, clearly a specific set of strengths,
yep.
and they're good, but in the area, the most important area now, if you've decided you're going to now move on or part with part of the big three.
Yeah.
Do you want that
guy?
Who
do you want leading them? Yeah.
When that has shown to be one of his weak areas, not his weakness.
Because
it's there. Really, look at what Oklahoma City has done. They've taken it to the next level by Caruso and Hartenstein.
Right.
They went out and added what they needed.
Now, Caruso was traded, right? Yeah, because they sound
giddy. Yeah, and Hardenstein was free agent. Yes, there you go. And they gave up a piece to do it. I mean, a lot of people like Zach Giddey. I know he didn't play any defense at the time.
Right.
Look what he's done for the Bulls. I mean, he had the Bulls at one point playing.
No, but when trading away Josh Giddey was somewhat controversial.
A little bit. Right.
Just because he had been part of that.
But look how it fit and what it's given them. That's Sam Presti. That's knowing how to get
that's
good.
Right.
I got good with all these picks and these players. Boy, we're ready. They're developing.
Yeah.
But I got to take it to the next level. We need toughness inside. I'm going to get Hardenstein. That's what wasn't done.
Yep.
You tried it with Smart. It didn't work, and it cost you. It cost you assets, really penalized you in a way the way that backfired. And so that's what I would ask as a guy with that history. Do you want him making that important a decision?
Yeah.
Which one of these big three am I trading? Am I blowing the whole thing up? That's your question, because I'm with you, John. Like I said, I think that because you've been forced to play this series, what it's done is forced you to take a real look at what you thought was always true for the last few years. Can the big three get it done? Right? Can the big three win a championship?
Yep.
And again, I'm, you know, a little part of me is like, I'm just throwing up down in the dumps about being on three, but it is a flawed three. It's a flawed three in the sense that, yes, you have a defensive anchor in it, but there's not a double-digit rebounder. And if one of the three goes down, it's particularly John Morant, it doesn't seem – do the other two sell tickets? But more importantly, can they win you games? Last night they couldn't with a 27-29-point lead. I realize, too, and I want to be fair, you also don't have two members of that rotation that would have been out there in Brandon – right, in Jalen Wells.
27 points in 24 minutes at home.
We have to keep looking at what we've always believed, the big three.
Yeah.
And if two out of three ain't good enough to hold off, I'm with you, John.
Yeah.
So now you get into...
I thought that was like, the image. That's the lasting image I will have, is that they couldn't hold on without John Morant.
Right. 100%.
They couldn't hold on.
You scored 31 points in the second half. You really weren't competitive.
You weren't. I mean,
it was child.
Scotty hit
the
three in the corner, put up three. I mean, Scotty, credit to that dude. He's fighting his balls off. I mean,
yeah, I didn't mind the kick on Hardenstein. I said Ray Allen because I'm joking about the 3-point shooting. The man looked like Damon Stoudemire. He looked like Mighty Mouse out there.
I mean, I have a lot of respect for Scotty, man. He has produced in a series where.
Is he not better than Tyus Jones all of a sudden, especially on the contract that he's on?
No doubt
about
it.
Because you get defensive, too. You get defensive side.
He had 28 last night. He's getting steals.
He's all over the floor. I wish he hadn't passed the ball to Ja. I'm not going to blame him. He was giving it to the box office.
Yeah, I'm not.
And the crowd was ready for it. We all were. I just wish Ja had, you know, I wish we were at a point in his career where.
They got him on a 4-year deal. Scottie Pippen?
Scotty. That's what I go back to Zach, and he's put all these guys, Vince, Gigi, Scotty, on great deals, bro.
Yeah.
That's one of the best backup based on what you were paying Tyus. I know he had the great assist to turnover, but he wouldn't help you in the playoffs. This guy plays defense, can help you.
Yeah.
He's a better, certainly fit, and I tell you, damn near more effective than Tyus because he's giving you both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
I'm with you. That was a hell of an effort by him. You sure would have seen you get the win and been able to do the interview with him after the game, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
he deserved it. It was that kind of effort.
But I think, you know, you bring up a part of this that probably complicates it.
Well, it's the biggest part.
Is, all right, we now know we need to do something. We need to push the button.
And 100%. And before you can start on which one, you have to decide on if the guy that's pushing the button, to stay with your analogy here, John, is the right guy to be doing it.
Yep.
Right? So, before you pick... Well, who's going to give me the greatest return or what the deal's going to look like? You have to decide, and that's Robert Pera.
Yep.
You have to decide whether that guy is who you want leading it based on his track record, based on the fact that he's young. I talked about it with Jeff, and we'll get to Anthony soon. I can't wait to hear what he has to say about this. But Sam Presti got a couple of runs at this.
Right.
He's trying to get that championship, and boy, they were close. He got a second time after what KD wants out of there, all this stuff. Remember, that first time around, they're making finals appearances and everything. He had drafted well. He goes out and, you know, makes the right move. But they gave him another shot at it. He was a young GM when he first got it. I think I want to tell you, the youngest GM in the league, much like Kleiman, I mean, a young guy. He got another shot because of the equity he had built up.
Yep.
And that's where we're at with Kleiman, is are you going to give him another shot, right? Because you've tried with this core and doubling and tripling down on youth. Didn't work. You know, give him another shot if you're blowing up the big three. Has he built up enough equity that you believe in him?
Yeah, I mean,
OKC believed in Presti.
Yes,
because of what he built up in equity. What was it? It was like a finals appearance and everything else. He went out and drafted Serge. I mean, he put that whole thing together. Westbrook, all of them.
Yeah,
Durant.
Yeah, but I would say this: like, I'll bottom line it this way. We'll get to Anthony saying, if you're one of those people that, and I don't think there were a lot of people. So I'm probably speaking to a very, very small minority, but if you're one of those people that ever fixed your lips to say it's time to trade Ja Morant, let that second half be the thing you needed to see.
Yeah.
Because when he left the game, them folks forgot how to play the sport of basketball. Like, he does everything for that group. Now,
except for Scottie.
Now, maybe, right, maybe, you know, you want to have a question about where a Ja Morant-led team can take you.
we can have that conversation. Is it a contender? Is it? But this team ain't nothing without John Morant. They ain't nothing.
You know who saw it from right behind the coaches? I was watching them sit there. The camera put it on them. It was Kleiman and Tayshaun Prince sitting side by side, having to watch this whole thing melt down right in front of them. I'm sure they were there to watch how Isolo, you know, interacts.
Yeah.
They saw literally the best of it, and they saw it melt down right in front of their eyes, a front row seat. TNT showed them sitting there together. And I think it was when they were up that I saw them. And they were looking smart, right? They were looking like, you know, everything's under control and all that. But, I'd ask you, how under control is it? And more importantly, again, they got a front row seat for it. They saw it firsthand. This is not enough, and possibly your big three, yes, is not enough. And Isolo is probably too early in his coaching career to be able to handle this. What you got, you, and so in all of this mess is the responsibility of one guy.
Yep,
of Kleiman. So
what did Kendrick say? Mother, the big three. It's just big me.
See, I get what he. I see where you're in, and he sells the tickets, John.
And he's the best player.
He's the best player. He makes the other players better, whereas the other guys don't.
Right.
He can't stay on the floor. Let's revisit.
We can't be perfect.
I mean,
you're right. I mean, that's
got to be a consideration.
But if I have to choose, I would rather bet on him finding a way to do that than Desmond Bane or Jaren Jackson Jr. Figuring out a way to all of a sudden be a great NBA basketball player.
I understand that completely.
And I honestly
I do. I don't know if it's just done the way you slapping them folks across the face last night, or you said that, slap yourself or whatever you said.
Look, I
slap your mama. Whatever
I'm not
you
trading.
Said
I'm not. Week. I'm giving Jaren the deal. I'm trading Desmond Bane. That's where I'm at. I'm trading Desmond Bane. I don't even know how much I can get for him after this series. This has been a dreadful series for his return. But
making a lot of money.
He's making too much money for what I'm getting back, and I have to do something. I have to change this up in some way. Even if I have to tell myself I'm not getting better, which you're not. You're not going to get a better player back than Desmond. But maybe I can just get a better fit or a different culture or a better way.
I get it.
I got to talk myself. I got to do something. You're now in the mode. This is what every franchise that's in this situation, they have to go. Like, remember the Pelicans had to go get Drew Holiday, right? They had to go get Drew Holiday for Anthony Davis. It didn't end up working either, but they had to do something, you know? Then the Bucks got Drew Holiday, and it worked for them. So you just got to go do something for the sake of doing it, because you got to be able to look 12 in the face and say, hey, man, we're working. We're doing something. We're not just going to say, Jalen Wells, take that second-year step. John Concho in the corner for three to tie. What in the world are we doing? They really let John Concho take the game-tying three.
Oh, we're a mess out there, bro.
I mean, it's crazy. We'll talk to Anthony. Maybe I'm ridiculous.
I don't know. I don't think you're ridiculous at all.
I think, I've seen enough. It is over.
I'm ready to see what you're going to do, but I don't think we can have that conversation again unless you know Zach's the guy you trust.
We'll talk to Anthony about that, how you kind of navigate that here on a very somber Friday morning. Jason and John, how are you trying to?
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
FM, ESPN. And Insane is the host of the Insane Show on Bluff City Media. New episodes airing every Wednesday and Friday. Make sure you're checking it out. He's the underground king of Memphis sports media, tribal chief of Grizz Twitter, independent journalist and founder of Asylum Media Group, father of five-star 2032 multi-sport prospect Gabriel Sane. Follow him on X at Sane Asylum. He joins us now. We're all in the hole together down 0-3. What's the first thought, Sane, on a you know, gloomy Friday?
Man, I don't know what y'all are gloomy about, bro. Who wants to see two more games versus getting beat without Ja against that team? I'm good over here.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's interesting.
Yeah, you were ready.
I'm joking,
were,
of course, man.
I'm joking, of course.
You were fine.
But Ja's not coming back, so I mean, you're right.
No, Ja's done. Ja's done for the season. That looks like a hip pointer. He's done. There's absolutely no point of him trying to come back. Tough game, of course, man. We all watched the game last night. People a few weeks ago were saying, let's not make the playoffs. Let's get our draft pick, all those type of things. I think that we absolutely needed to go through what we're going through right now. I think that if we had a bailed out in the play-in game, we would have thought that we would have went into next year with the whole, well, as long as the big three are healthy and we get a couple pieces around those guys, we'll be good. That would have been the thing going into the summer. And I think seeing this playoff series lets you know that we are so far away from where anyone who thinks like that thinks we are. You know what I mean? We are a team that I'm not in the blow it all up camp. I think that's pretty crazy. But I do think that you need to make some tweaks at the top of this roster. Because that's another thing, too. A lot of people have talked so much about, you know, making moves to get, you know, we could have done this, we could have done that. That's not the issue with this team. Your big three guys, those guys that you have invested so much in, there's a clear issue there. You know what I mean? It was a tough game to watch, man. I watched pretty much the entire game. And the moment when Ja goes out with the injury, I don't really have much more details about much more of the game other than when Ja went down, the game was over. That emotionally and physically drained that team. Like, it literally let the air out of the balloon. And at that point, I'm not surprised that a team that beat you by 51 was able to come back down 30 when your best player was out of the game. Like, that whole thing was not a surprise to me at all. Once he went down, I was like, well, the first few minutes of the third quarter will determine the rest of the game. If we come out and we jump on them early and they kind of give up, fine. But if they come out ready to play in the third quarter, we're going to lose this game. I don't care what the score was. And we saw it last night. But it's tough, man. It's a very unfortunate situation. John Morant's season ending on a attempt on a dunk attempt in the playoffs is, hey, it comes like Christmas, man. It's happening every year. So, you know, that's one of those things we've kind of been groomed to expect to happen. But, yeah, that's what I got so far, bro.
You know, we came into the season or earlier this year, and I kind of want to focus on that play because I had a listener, you know, right before you came on saying, say, listen, you know, you're saying it's Ja's fault on that play.
Mm-mm,
you know,
not saying it, no.
No, that's what he said about me. He said that's what he said about my take. I asked John, and I agreed that it could have been upgraded to a flagrant because even though Dort slipped, I thought he flailed, and you don't want to undercut guys in the league. I agreed with that, but that it's not Ja's fault. But I asked, is it fair to question saying whether or not it was reckless for a guy who earlier this year and going into this season, we were frankly saying whether it was organization or us, can you dunk on folks less, right? So availability is so important. You're down 0-2 here. You're up 27. I'm not saying it's Ja's fault at all. It's not my stance. I'm asking, is it fair to question whether it was reckless of Ja because of his injury history and availability issues?
I'm gonna point the finger all around, man. I go back to this. This is my theme for the summer, man. Legacy issues with the Memphis Grizzlies, right? That's kind of where I'm at. That's my theme for the summer, because it's if Ja had attempted to jump over Lou Dort in January or Thursday night in January, hey, sign me up for it. Mm. But in playoff basketball, man, and nobody letting you do that to them, bro. You know what I mean? And Lou Dort is a guy who's documented to give the hard fouls, and he's documented to do these questionably dirty things, right? Like most guys who are your elite defenders like that, they do have a history of doing things that ride the line.
Yep.
Whether you're talking about a Draymond Green, Dylan Brooks, whoever
Absolutely.
You're talking about, these guys are known for those type of moves. So you're going to get that rough play in the playoffs, man. You're going to get those plays that look like the Detroit Pistons back in the day.
100%.
And it just speaks to kind of the immaturity of the team, right? You're up 27. Scottie Pippen Jr. is on a breakaway. Instead of just finishing the layup, you look for the highlight play, or the kill shot or whatever to end the half. I would have jumped out of my seat if that would have happened, but it is a situation for that in hindsight you question it. But as far as Lou Dort is concerned, I watched that tape 1,000 times now. I didn't have time for it last night. I just went to bed. I recorded my show last night. It'll be available today on Bluff City Media. Search the Anthony Sainso show on YouTube. You can check that out. We recorded at midnight, so I didn't really have time to really go back and watch that play too many times. But like I said, Lou Dort is just doing what dudes like that do.
Right.
He was in between two guys. He was going to foul one of them, so he tried to foul Ja. He slipped. He still, you know, called himself trying to foul Ja, and it was nasty. It looked horrible. And when Ja hit the ground, you knew something bad was going to happen.
Yeah.
But like I said, man, at the end of the day, like I was joking when I said I didn't want to see if we had pulled that game out last night. I didn't want to see two games of us playing without Ja, and now we just get to see one. I wasn't joking about that part. I do not want to see two more games of us playing this team. I'm ready for this series to be over. I'm ready for the season to be over, man, because it's decision-making time. There are major decisions, and who all will be making those decisions?
Yeah.
Is it Zach Kleiman making those decisions? Is it Ja Morant making decisions about who's back and who's not? Is it Robert Parra coming out of his cave? And because I'm willing to bet that Robert Parra don't even know that. I'm willing to bet that when Taylor Jenkins got fired, Robert Parra didn't even know he was still the coach. Like I bet he didn't even know that what was
back,
happening.
He was in the back cave,
right? Who knows? But that's the thing, man. And whatever they do, whatever the Grizzlies do, I think it needs to be done soon. This organization has a history of you think everything's fine, and then 2 weeks before it's time to go to work, oh, so-and-so got fired. Oh, okay. And now we have to make these think pieces about why that stupid stuff makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, these are the positions that the Grizzlies put us in, right? Like,
they'll do the exit interviews, and everybody's coming back, and then an hour later, everybody's traded, you know?
Yeah, if we lose tomorrow night, let me find out Sunday that, hey, we're going to go on a full-out coaching search, or Tomas Hislop is going to be the guy. I don't want to drag this out over the whole summer. I don't want to look up in September and we're talking about Grizzlies' new assistant coaches for something that should have been done last summer. I don't want to hear about – I want to know that we're going to go on a full-out coaching search today. Like when we lose the next morning, I want to hear that. And if Zach Kleiman is not going to be the GM, fire him Saturday night. I don't want to have a GM search in September.
Yeah, I mean,
end it. Like, if he's not the guy, just end it. And if you're going to make trades for dudes, let it be known we're going to do what needs to be done to make this roster happen. And that's a conversation you have as a GM and a front office. Cool. That's a conversation you have with the GM and John Morant. Cool. There's a conversation that Robert Pera has with his lawyer and advisors or whoever to go in the next direction. That's fine as well. But we need to know answers soon. Something needs to be resolved. We have a history as a franchise of doing things, of making what probably was the right decision, but making it hella late, like firing your coach with 9 games left in the season. Like, these type of things have been our legacy issues with the Memphis Grizzlies. And speaking of legacy issues, right, like, you're watching the game last night, and one of the most telling things ever was displayed right in front of our faces. John Morant is a good player. Desmond Bane is a good player. Jaren Jackson Jr. is a good player, right? They're individually good players, but collectively they're a mess. There's what two-man action do you see with the Grizzlies, including your two guys who share a backcourt together?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But think about how fluid those things are when you watch a team that plays beautiful basketball like Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
They're all on the string. Everything is – they're all connected. They're all one guy.
They play a five-man game.
Right. They play a five-man game, literally. And when they sub those guys out, no matter what the combination of guys is, everybody knows where to go. Everybody knows where to be. We were watching a game yesterday where Ja Morant came out of the game. There was zero chemistry between Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. It was Bane, go get yours. Jaren, go get yours. You had Jaren taking the ball – my guy Fast Break Breakfast said this on Twitter. He said the Grizzlies literally are burning 19 seconds of the shot clock and expecting Jaren to score with 5 seconds left in a triple team. I mean, like, and that's because they have there's no chemistry between those guys. And I've seen people say, well, you know, fire Isolo. If we fire Isolo, cool, fire Isolo. Go get a coach that does whatever. That guy walked into legacy issues with the Grizzlies, that there's no chemistry. When's the last time we saw a Ja Jaren pick and pop, pick and roll? There's no fluidity between our three best players. They're just three good players that happen to play on the same team. They're not playing off of each other. And it's been that way the entire run, bro. We've just been kind of talented enough to kind of get by on those type of things forever. But it's not working now, and it's been such a chaotic season. You know what I mean? As far as Isolo is concerned, do I think he's a good coach? Yes. I think Tomas Isolo is a very good coach. I think that the Grizzlies part from him, we'll see him be good somewhere else. And that's fine if that's the decision you decide to make. Just like you talked about with Oklahoma City, Sam Presti, right? If Zach Kleiman is let go and he goes somewhere else, he'll go somewhere else. He'll be fine. He'll
probably learn from this, right, Sain? I mean, a lot of guys do that.
Yeah. I still think he's a good GM. I think Tomas Isolo is going to be a good coach. They just have to make the decision if those guys are good enough for what they're ultimately trying to do, and just ask themselves what they're ultimately trying to do. I've been standing here for weeks that Zach Kleiman waved the flag on the white flag on his team a long time ago. I think he realized this team is not going to be a championship team. I'm going to kick the ball further down the line. I'm going to give myself a longer runway. Regardless of what y'all think, I know this team ain't ready. I believe in Gigi. I believe in Jalen. I believe in Edie. I believe in Scottie Pippen Jr. I'm going to let those guys get up to speed, and we're going to go where we're going in the next year or so. If he believes that, that's fine. And I think the games like last night showed you that as well. But that's all well and good, but that can't be the case when you got three guys that you're playing max money to. And that's all they can give you. Like, if Ja goes out, if Bane and Jaren, if that's all they can give you, you can't keep building this way, like it because you can't really do anything in between. You've got all these good small contracts. You've got guys that you're paying a lot of money to, but you don't have anything in between. There's no way you can continue to progress that way. So serious decisions have to be made. But it's crazy, man, because like I came on you guys' show, I said it on Twitter, I've said it on my show, the Desmond Bane, Ja Morant backcourt has so many problems. Like there's the fact that neither one of those guys can be a defender. And both of those guys can get ate up by big defenders. It makes things so much more difficult to be a good team. Like Lu Dort, even though with that hard foul that he had, that guy's a hell of a defender, and he absolutely took Desmond Bane out of that game. He made Desmond Bane absolutely useless.
He's broken, you know, Desmond Bane's will, bro. Like,
yeah, I mean, and that's going to always happen. Like Desmond's game is very, very easy to bottle up if you got an old school defender like a Lu Dort on your team. He's pretty easy to bottle up or whatever. Like I said, man, we have to decide what we're going to do and do it soon. And like I said, it hurts to go through this process, but it's kind of like a broken leg, man. Like if you break your leg, you have to go through the process to hopefully that bone comes back stronger. You know what I mean? And it's a process that sucks. But we had to see us go through this to realize, man, if we're going to be a good team, a good contending team, we need to take this ass whooping and really see that we're not nearly on the trajectory that we thought we were. Like I said, the guys are still young. You can make changes around those guys. When I say guys, I'm talking about the guys you identify. I'm not saying you need to bring everybody back. But I'll say this here, and I'll stand on it until the season starts. Ja, Jaren, and Dez do not need to be back on this team next year. One of those guys
I think
to be
there home. Is no way that happens.
Yeah, and I'm the guy who came to you guys' show and was like, hey, we need to get this team to the point where Desmond Bane's a guy that can be a super sub that can come off and just bust teams' asses off the bench. And everybody tried to kill me. And I think people see that a Ja Morant, Desmond Bane backcourt does not work when the brightest of bright lights come on. Like, it just doesn't work, bro. They are two guys taking turns. And here's something people have to also admit. Ja Morant is one of the most exciting players in the league. He's one of the better players in the league. Big-time clutch performer, heart of a giant. Even last night, just seeing him fighting just to get the free throws off and just knowing he wanted to get back out there, knowing he wanted to play. Ja Morant is an excellent player. But his game, if you're talking about that's going to be the best player on your team,
right.
His game is a very, very, very flawed game if you're talking about a championship-level team. I can't name one player in the history of the NBA that fits Ja's profile that's right. been the best player on anything close to a championship team. I mean, who are you saying?
Right. I mean, Derrick Rose? Allen Iverson?
Russell Westbrook?
Allen Iverson?
No, Allen Iverson had a killer mid-range game.
I mean, Ja had the float. Ja had the float for a long time. Did he not?
But I'm saying in a
there aren't Iverson, maybe. There aren't a ton.
Iverson maybe. There Iverson aren't a, maybe. But not, he for sure had the mid range game.
Not to your point, not ones that are flying out of the in and out of the sky and missing games.
Yeah.
You know, as a result.
AI's game wasn't based on finishing at the rim. It was a lot of mid range stuff, a ton of mid range stuff. Like it was the mid range first.
Yeah.
For him. Ja's game is predicated.
Allen Iverson shot 30% for his career, from three. I mean, that's all I'm saying. Like, he was a smaller guard.
I'm not saying he has to be
quickness.
A three-point shooter, but his game, when is a non-defensive, scoring, non-shooting, one-dimensional, when I say one-dimensional, scoring at the basket is his only dimension. When has a guy like that been the best player on the championship team, anything close to a championship team? You're talking about Allen Iverson. You could throw Westbrook out there. But he had a mid-range game even. You know what I mean?
Russ has always been surrounded by absolute greatness.
Exactly, man. So I've said this all the time. In a perfect scenario, the Grizzlies have a team out there that looks like what Oklahoma City does, bro. That has a if Ja's going to be your scoring guard on the ball, those other two positions on the wing need to be guys who can defend and shoot, and they have to have some size.
Yeah, because Oklahoma City does not have stars, bro. That's the thing.
That's what I've been telling people. People have been like, man.
They're an elite system.
And they just now this year went and got guys that were – everybody says, oh, the Grizzlies need to go get some grown men, right? Or they need to go get some vets, some proven vets. Like, Oklahoma City just now did that this year. They were the number one seed in the West last year too, bro. You know what I mean? With all homegrown dudes that they drafted, developed, all those type of things. But they drafted guys that were versatile, switchable defenders.
Right.
Guys taking knockdown shots. They went and got Isaiah Joe off the trash heap. Just now found out about a year ago that Aaron Wiggins ain't the other Wiggins brother. I mean, it's just a bunch of dudes, bro. But
it is a bunch
of
dudes.
They all fit a certain type. They're 6'7", 6'8", 9 athletic defenders who can knock down shots.
But that coach is elite. That's an elite coach. That
level coaching, bro. And they've been doing what they do for a long time, and they're not changing it. Guys know what to do. They know where to be. You can bring guys in. They're just a workhorse. Crazy defender like Alex Caruso, he can fit right in.
Yep.
You can get Hardenstein, bring him fit right in because their system stands for itself.
Exactly.
It's not a lame duck coach. Coaching with a bunch of assistant coaches that he doesn't know.
You get Luke Kennard in that system, bro. He's going to be a really good player. You know?
Yeah. I mean, don't even get me started with that, man, because we've had so many endless, mindless debates about value of these guys and what they'll do in the playoffs and how they stress the floor and how these numbers prove that they're good. And even if they're not taking shots, teams have to defend them. Man, Luke Kennard and Santi Aldama are not ready for the playoffs, and they never will be. Their games don't translate to the playoffs.
You're right.
You know what I mean? And,
oh, you're right.
And we've had so many just weird debates about all these type of guys, man, and they're not – they're not the key to this team. We had the conversations about, oh, we should have kept Jake LaRavia. What the hell was Jake LaRavia doing last night? We had so, just so many ridiculous conversations about dudes, just dudes. The guys are just guys in the league, right?
Yep.
But at the end of the day, man, this team is what it is because of legacy issues, the way we run our offense, the way we run our defense, the way that we've never challenged Jaren to actually be a rebounder on this team. Legacy issues, bro. Jaren isn't a screener. Legacy issue. Ja has no mid-range game, really, except for this year. He's really started kind of leaning to that mid-range game a little bit. Those are just legacy things, fam, and it's always been that way. And we've always just kind of accepted it as what it is. And that's why I say with Coach Isolo, I don't know if he's good or not. He's still doing Taylor Jenkins stuff. Like he's doing what these guys know how to do. He's doing what these guys have been doing for the last 4 or 5 years. I don't know if he's good or not. I think he's good from the interviews I've seen, from his resume or whatever. He seems like a smart dude. He seems like he knows who. They're not doing his stuff. And I'm sure he'll go to, I don't know, wherever next year, and you'll see, oh, yeah, that dude can coach, Washington, whatever. Oh, yeah, that Esau dude can coach. He knows they run good stuff. He's got guys running through a wall for him. But I don't expect that dude to come in and fix the stuff that we've had going on, man. He's coaching these guys according to what they already know how to do. You can't take a team that late in the season. Like, hey, let me show y'all something different. Hey, Jaren, start being a screener. Like, no, that ain't happening, bro. You know what I mean? So I don't know. But whatever they do, as Jesus said to Judas, Jason Smith, do as you do and do it quickly.
That's all I want to do. That's right. Saint has called on Jesus. That's where we are now. Rightfully so.
Hey, Saint, yeah, appreciate man. It as always.
Appreciate y'all, man.
Yeah, I think I asked you one question. That might have been a 30-minute
rant. Don't give me the mic, man.
One question, and you just feel. And I loved all of them.
We not in the same building, so
right.
I ain't got no cues to shut my ass up or nothing. I'm rolling. Man, it's just on y'all, man. Don't give me the mic, man.
Dude, you were flowing. You're absolutely rolling, and thank you, brother. we'll be tuned in later today.
Hey, just like former superintendent Fagans, man, let me cook, man, for sure.
Hey, thanks, Saint. Appreciate you,
brother.
All right.
Yep.
All right, y'all.
He is Anthony Saint from the Anthony Saint Show. We'll come back to the rundown. We'll keep talking playoffs, Grizz.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drive deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.